Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Good vibes, Ben.
Afternoons on the Score.
This place is unbelievable, Mitch.
You like it?
I don't know how you could still be depressed. This is probably the best thing that's ever happened to us.
Us?
Yeah, us. Look, do not get selfish on me here. Okay, now stay with me. You put a bar in over there, mm-hmm. right? A couple yes. lazy boys, yeah. fill it out. You definitely need a smarter couch. You can put a hot tub almost anywhere in this place. Max, can you earmuff it for me? We are gonna get so much ass here, it's gonna be sick. I'm talking like crazy, like boy band ass.
That sounds like a lot of fun, but I need a little time to get my life back together.
There will be no fraternity being started at the new house, though it would be a good one. Rough neighborhood for it. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
Yeah, those neighbors would call the cops pretty quick.
Yeah, it'd be terrible.
I just saw two kegs being rolled in.
Yeah, it's a neighborhood of snitches.
I've hung out in the jail in that town, in the holding cell in that town. Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll tell that story another time, but yes.
I got follow-up questions there. This was finally moving weekend. Moved to the burbs, sold out. Kind of hate myself for it, but the house looks great. Very excited about that. And Tanny and Shane, I thought, were very kind to volunteer because I am terrible at assembling furniture.
Okay, stop.
All right.
Wasn't a volunteer. You came into my office one day and you said, you know, you've been trying to help around with the move and help with the house. Saturday, May 7th, going to have a bunch of furniture. Can you come over and help us assemble it?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
That's no problem.
Okay. That is true. I did bring it up to you. Yep. I was kind of hoping you would have volunteered. Happy to do it.
And volunteered for plenty other things. Offered my services.
That's true.
For many things. Watching your son.
Yeah.
Doing whatever you want.
I would not accept that offer.
He'll learn the most he's ever learned in an hour. So
Let me check. Let me double check on both of you. Was that a sincere happy to do it? Just want to check as we evolve into the rest of the conversation.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I was happy to do it. Anytime as a married man, you get out of the house for an afternoon, it's fine. If someone, you know, Shane picked me up. Somebody, it was like, ooh, someone's driving me around today. It's really your vacation.
Yeah, so I knew Tanny had no problem with it. But
Did you bring the video game system, Tanny, or no?
You should have. So you know what? Fine. There was a bunch of furniture to assemble. They assembled a bunch of it. There still is a lot more to do.
Yeah.
But I will now just turn it over to the labor, Shane and Tanny, to see.
The Irish day workers here. Yeah. Your home built on our backs. Let's just start from the beginning here.
That's historically correct, by the way, yeah. I do believe.
One of the things that stuck out to me before we get to the home itself, and I just want to let you know before we get into any of this, I say this from a position of love and as a fellow homeowner, you know, not everyone here can relate, you know, it's a lot of hard work, and I know when people say things about your home, you take it personally sometimes, as I certainly do.
Yeah.
But before the day even started, we get this text from Danny. Hey guys, just FYI, my tools somehow got left behind at the condo. So you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea if someone brought a simple toolbox.
Right. So number one, the assumption that Tanny and I thought that Danny would be providing the tools is just egregious.
Well,
absolutely egregious.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure you're going to somebody's house. You're expecting them to have the tools. Yeah. I would have expected
No, but we both planned on bringing our own. Yes. I packed up mine. Shane had his. But the fact that the whole charade.
The charade. Yes, thank you.
Consider the subject here, Speaks. Gotcha. 90% of homes you're going to, yeah, they'll probably have a screwdriver.
But this is Danny's home. My bad.
Yeah,
my bad.
We're going to Danny's new house. Yes. Somehow left the tools.
I don't know how it happened. It's just so crazy that my tools, out of all the things, my toolbox, which I adore so much, was left behind.
So, as part of the housewarming gift that we split for Danny and Steph, I included a child's Black and Decker tool set and belt to give to Owen
there you
as
go.
Like a backup, just in case Danny ever forgets the tools at the condo again.
Sure, and you really want to raise your kids to do things you are not able to do.
Yes.
That's a really good,
so
healthy
Owen
way to
can
do
probably
it.
Do more damage with the plastic baby tools than Danny could with a real hammer and screwdriver.
That's accurate. And then as when they mentioned that to Steph, she pointed out that the tools actually were her tools that her dad gave her when she went to off to college. So I actually don't have my own tools.
That is
accurate. I do have a drill that I bought for the cheapest one in the store and I wasn't able to install.
Yeah, the tools that Danny uses to get things done are in his wallet.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Carry on.
So we get there, and you know, this is an area I really hate to critique. Yeah. I don't like this bit where it's so divisive where we, you know, criticize your home. But first thing that Shane and I noticed,
the lawn
is in rough shape, especially compare and contrast to the other lawns. And
I knew you were going to say something.
Which
about
means
the lawn.
Well, we know you're on top of it. You said you got a lawn guy coming, but
today
it's too late, my friends. It's far too late for the lawn guy to come.
Is your lawn guy weekly or biweekly?
I paid him extra today to get it back to square one, and now he's going to be coming twice a month. Is that not enough?
I don't think that's enough for the weeds that you're going to be dealing with, for the dandelions that were already there. You missed the opportunity to cut the dandelions down at the root.
It's a tough time to move, because this is all happening while you're signing closing documents. Like, it's dandelion season.
Yeah, they brought it like 2 weeks ago, and if you don't get them right when they start, they just keep on coming back.
So the neighbors think of Danny as like Cletus the Slackjaw yokel.
Definitely
right
do.
Now.
Yeah,
it was the worst lawn on the block. There's no question. I actually have.
You just moved in. You get a little grace period.
I apologize to our next door neighbors, and they—that's exactly what they said. They said, "Don't worry, you've got a—you know, we're not judging you for your lawn yet." They were, I think they were joking.
Behind closed doors, they're absolutely judging.
Yeah, how many ascots was that guy wearing, by the way?
Father, what are those exotic plants in our new neighbor's lawn? Those are weeds, son.
Okay, right. So observation number two: house gorgeous, beautiful neighborhood, beautiful house, right on the golf course. We see the weeds. We walk up to the door, knock on the door. Here comes Danny, opens the door, hair completely disheveled, oversized Northwestern sweatshirt, slippers, and jogger pants with the zipper zipped like all the way up to the shin.
Slippers.
So it looks like he's wearing, Danny and I come like regular humans with gym shoes, regular clothes. Danny looks like he's wearing parachute pants with his ratty sweatpants. Like
so MC Hammer in slippers answers
and
the door.
And Uggs, I think they're Ugg slippers, boots. You don't need to wear Timberlands because we know we're there to do most of the work, which is fine. But I have to believe that Steph has commented about those sweats once or twice in your lovely marriage.
Those sweats predate her. She's not thrilled that they're still in
they predate her?
Yeah, they're like 10, 11 years old, probably.
Wow. Buy new ones now.
I have new ones, but again...
That money's going into lawn care now. You can't.
So theoretically, he's supposed to be doing work around the house, and he's wearing slippers.
Slippers with his jogger sweatpants zipped 6 inches up. You know how the zipper comes to the bottom, you can tighten it or loosen it?
Soft man.
All the way loosened up.
I mean, I am leisurely on the weekends. I'm in leisure.
On the weekend,
time.
You're moving?
Yeah. Well, again, you think I moved? I paid for movers.
Yeah.
But I did move a lot of boxes, in fairness. You saw my basement.
Yeah.
All that stuff that was down there, this guy moved.
Okay.
Percent.
But you know, when there's no rubber on your shoes, this man has no intentions of doing any actual lifting that day. And he didn't.
It's actually a pretty brilliant way to draw boundaries in terms of what is to be expected. I can't ask him to do that. He's wearing slippers. All right, I'll take care of it.
Tanny, do you want to take this? We got the house tour. That was beautiful. House is great. Can't say that enough. It's gorgeous.
It's kind to give the labor the house tour.
Yes.
How awesome the house is? It's really awesome.
The house is great.
It's nice. Tanny, do you want to move on to room number one?
And
the couch assembly.
Oh, what we discovered in room number one, which Owen.
Yes.
Oh, this is not Owen's room, father. This is Owen's
playroom.
His playroom.
He has more than one room.
This is Owen's podcast studio. So we get there, and there's a big box in the middle of the floor. And we had to move a lot of this stuff out of the way, but we're like, oh, this is a brand new, something clearly they had just received, and it was open. And we're like, what's going on here? Is this something we have to assemble? And it was a table and chair set for Owen that Danny opened the box, didn't attempt to put it together, and then just put it aside because he got, quote, frustrated.
Looked at the instructions and got frustrated.
With the instructions.
Tiny table and chairs for tiny children. It took Danny and I about 10 minutes to put the whole thing together.
Without even directions. We're like, no, we don't need these directions.
Do you know how many tweets he could fire off in those 10 minutes, guys?
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
So after that, we move on to the first item, which was a couch. Now, a very like lightweight gray fabric couch. It's a nice couch for a kid's playroom. We go out to the garage to grab the couch, and Danny says, guys, be careful with this one. Not even Steph and I could pick it up together. Not even Steph and I could pick it up together.
I remember thinking, that's really weird because Danny's really strong and loves lifting things. So if he can't lift it, I don't know who's going to be able to lift this thing.
So Danny and I go to lift it up, and just kind of look a little confused. Is this the box he was talking about? And Steph not being able to lift? I think we lifted it with like a finger each.
All right.
A very lightweight gray couch. We bring it in there.
Yeah.
We put the couch
together. Didn't scratch the walls. Very proud of that.
Yes. At least I don't think we scratched the walls.
God. So while you guys are doing this,
No. They did not scratch the walls. You saw when he went up the stairs, he dinged the little top of the staircase. But it's not a big deal.
I did not see that.
I did not notice that.
Not a big deal. It's all good.
Okay.
I think I prevented you from dinging it. I was like, hey, we got to go down a little bit. Yeah, I think he's fabricating.
When I was trying to put it on my shoulder. Yeah, that must have been from somebody else.
Yeah. No good deed, man. No good deed.
No, wait a minute. Okay, go ahead.
Danny comes in, very hastily, by the way, comes in. Steph said I should give you guys some music. So he takes his iPhone, plugs it into the wall, throws it into the corner of the room, and puts on like Outcast Pandora. Minimal volume while Danny and I are sweating putting together a couch.
Oh my God, there's so much wrong there. The fact when you say, Steph said I should do it, means that you don't care. He absolutely does not care about your comfort or your enjoyment. And the fact that he is entrusted to pick music of any kind is horrific.
It was Spotify. The last station I had been listening to was the Outcast station, so I just played that. I figured it would go over well with Danny. I wasn't taking requests. And I put on the Outcast station.
We didn't ask for music, man.
Steph told me to do it.
Yeah, that was great of Steph. Steph is,
She's caring. She's,
I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
the balance in the relationship.
Yeah, right. Okay.
She's human.
Right. Yeah, exactly right.
She looks outside herself every once in a while.
Bad choice of music?
No, Outcast is fine. Yeah, I mean, we were talking the whole time. Like, we were talking about you the whole time, so.
Propping your phone up in the corner of the room.
They were taking notes for this segment the entire time.
All right. Continue. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it was upstairs, right? It was fine. It was mostly stuff for Owen, which I get it, because there's, you know, when you have a young kid, there's so much stuff that's got to get put together all the time. So the dresser was quite a thing. There was lots of moving of heavy stuff involved. And there was, let's not forget the big heavy box. There's two of them. So we bring this heavy box into the bedroom, and it was the dresser. And then we bring in the second box
upstairs,
because it's two of two, all the way upstairs.
Wow.
We didn't get all the way upstairs the second time though, but it was like we bring it in the house, and Steph says, "Oh no, that's getting returned to the store."
It was Danny said, heavy. "Hey, you're taking both of these heavy boxes in the garage and bringing them upstairs."
I thought it was a two part dresser, but in fact, they accidentally shipped
us. It'd be the largest dresser in the world.
The unnecessary add-on work for the free labor that's been guilted into helping in the first place.
And Steph did tell me that they had sent two of that one, and we had to return it, and I forgot, they were carrying in the second one. I'll point a thumb on that.
Was Danny sitting on a throne at any point during this process?
Funny that you ask, Speaks.
Yeah.
So here are Tanny and I, very, like, painstakingly following the directions to this dresser, putting together this dresser.
Uh-oh.
We took a break halfway through to go have some pizza, which was great, but Danny,
he forced Jardinera on a pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. Danny,
did he really?
He made the executive decision.
That's my move.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, I thought you'd be proud.
He ordered his sausage and Jardinera pizza and some mozzarella sticks, and that was it.
And a salad.
What? Okay. What is that even?
I'm not a rabbit.
It's just something to make you feel better when you're ordering the pizza. That's all that is. And it goes in the fridge, gets tossed out in 2 days.
Steph wanted some salad.
We have our pizza. We go back upstairs to finish the dresser.
We eat the pizza.
Yeah, we eat the pizza.
I eat the pizza.
going back upstairs to finish the dresser, and Danny comes up with Owen, and he just sits on the rocking chair in the corner of the room, watches us for about 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Right, with Owen there, and Owen's adorable. Owen's great.
Yeah.
And then Danny says, all right, I got to go downstairs and start handling some stuff, okay? So Danny and I are up.
Did he leave Owen there?
No, he brought Owen with him. But
could you guys watch Owen?
Stuff to do downstairs. So we went downstairs.
Yeah.
And then the rest was just blanked out of my memory here. I'm trying to remember what happened after that.
Well, it just took us a while to put together the dresser because the dresser was a lot.
To my credit, Danny, we made sure we did not leave until that dresser was 100% perfect.
That's true.
As a married man with a home, the drawers were a little off kilter, and we were trying to blame it on everything else in the world other than our poor craftsmanship.
I was trying to blame it.
But we made sure.
Shane was like, do you think the carpet here is not level?
No, that was Danny.
I was just trying to help you out so we can get out of there. But yeah, we made sure that dresser was good, and I hope it passed the Steph test. So
she loved it.
We're all good there. But yeah, the dresser was by far the most involved, and it's a lot easier doing with two people. And you know, I could see why you wouldn't want any part of it. But yeah, it was fine.
Well, there's one thing, Tanny. When he said that he was going downstairs to do something,
yes.
So we thought, all right, well, he's probably going downstairs maybe to put something together, you know, clean up or something like that. Help Steph unpack. Mm-hmm. We finish with the dresser. We go down there, and Danny says, well, you know, in the time that you guys were up here, I put together a TV stand. And here's the thing. The TV stand in your little TV room there off the front door, off the living room, that brown one, that was already put together because Tanny and I moved it to fit the couch.
It's true.
So, Tanny, what do you think he meant when he said, I've got to put a TV stand together?
We spend a lot of time together in the car talking about this on the way home. Because if he's incapable of putting together a child's desk and chair set, there's no way he could put together a TV stand, anything that would support any actual weight. So we speculated that maybe he just meant he screwed on the little legs for the TV.
That is what I meant.
Yes!
So wait a minute. All he did was screw legs onto a TV.
And then put that on top of the already assembled TV stand. And he tried to tell us that that's him putting together a TV stand.
Like, it took, you know, it did not take long at all. There's no way he's that fast to put together anything, let alone a TV stand.
Was the TV on when you went down there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
Steph did walk in when TV. I was doing that, and the Cubs game was on, and you guys were upstairs. And she's like, are you seriously watching the Cubs game while this happened? I'm like, I'm screwing the TV. Like, I was watching on one TV and screwing it onto the other. And she was like, you should probably not be watching TV when your friends are upstairs, like, assembling furniture. I was like, they're listening to the game upstairs? And so I thought that was fun. We all have our skill sets.
I nailed it, Shane. It was the legs for the TV.
It was the legs for the TV.
That's amazing.
That was so good.
Amazing.
It was the legs for the TV.
Spot on.
So do you guys feel...
let's recap here.
Do you feel like you were fairly compensated?
Yeah, it's not about compensation. Helping out a friend, it's a new house is a lot. It's a big ordeal.
Yeah.
So we're definitely trying to bank a favor for later, maybe. And Danny already said he's coming through with some special beer that I can't get here. So for me, that's more than enough. And Paisanos, gotta love Paisanos, is fine. So
okay.
No compensation needed.
Yeah. No, even lunch, it wasn't necessary. You know, that's not what we're talking about here.
Okay. You're talking about a lack of effort to do the manual labor with you guys. Is that?
Well, I mean, no,
we worry about you. In the future, I think.
You worry about me in the future.
Yeah, but if you need us to put together the child's table and chairs.
Sure.
Oh, wait a minute.
Buddy.
What about the, he still had the from the previous endorsement, he still had a little leftover he could have someone come over and do all the things that we did.
Yeah.
I still have some Jiffy money left.
you go.
I opened up the Jiffy app for the first time in a while because, you know, not paying me anymore. And so I opened up the Jiffy app while these guys may as well have been my Jiffy workers, and they were assembling furniture. I was like, oh man, I still have a couple $100 of Jiffy guys. And so I booked a Jiffy guy to come over
on
Tuesday to assemble the rest of the furniture.
That's using the tools that are available.
Exactly right. Resourceful. Resourceful.
Oh, God. Well, you are good friends. You guys are good friends.
They are very good friends.
And this is delicious, just to get confirmation on exactly what kind of homeowner Danny Parkins is going to be. I think we knew, but this is really nice and really clear. And everybody in the neighborhood will soon learn what he has to offer. Pithy rejoinders to further the conversation.
That's the goal.
That's it.
That's the goal. and good weed.
It's like, what do you mean to tell me here? Yeah, you've got a cruddy lawn and a pool with no water in it, and you're going to offer us what, Mr. Parkins? Welcome to the neighborhood.
The lawn is taken care of today, and the pool is being filled as we speak. Everything's going to be, yeah, that's right. Don't worry about it. By next weekend, you guys come back. There'll be no labor. Come on, hang out by the pool. Mm. Great time. Play a little golf. Be beautiful. It's going to be palatial. Speaks. Would you have been useful in this situation?
No.
Okay.
I was at first, I was hurt that I didn't get the call, sad that I missed out on some of the bonding time, but then I realized I would have had to actually be doing stuff and helping, and I would not have been a good fit for such things.
I didn't think so. I didn't think you
would've. I can do some stuff. I have a toolbox that I use frequently and enjoy that I purchased myself, my own tools, and I can do some stuff.
You're older than me. I'll get there.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. I worked in a hardware store for a while, Armitage Hardware at Armitage in Sheffield.
I mean, so we have a toolbox of concepts, yes, so to speak.
We do. So I know like what aisle to get all the things that you need at Armitage Hardware, and I know what you need to do stuff, so that's half the battle.
I know how to ask someone at the hardware store what aisle it's in.
Mm-hmm.
That's communication skills.
Yeah, that's close. Yeah. That's close.
I know how to identify the people that work at the hardware store from the customers. They're the ones wearing name tags.
Do you know where the hardware store is near your home yet?
The new home?
Yes.
No. The old home, yes.
Okay.
But my phone has a GPS on it.
Yeah, it does.
So I just put in Home Depot, Menards, and then I go to whichever one's closer.
Well, congrats, man. It's a whole new world, and you are officially a suburban sellout. You cannot call yourself a Chicagoan anymore.
Well, I can call myself a Chicagoan. I just don't live in the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, semantics.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. But yeah, it's no, I trust me. I'm very torn about that part of it, frankly.
I'm just making fun.
It's going to be great for the family.
That's what it's about.
Closer to my parents and all that stuff.
Yeah, so I'm just giving you crap for that. No, absolutely. You're forever a Chicagoan, and this is not about you only.
Right? I've been told that. Yeah, that's talk about an adjustment. It's not only about me. And that commute after the show, a little detox time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just after the show.
Tip of the cap to Steph, marrying a radio host and saying it's not all about you, and her winning. She won and got the nice house out in the burbs. She beat you.
Oh, yeah.
And you're a radio host who loves to argue, you know, debate team and all of that.
Oh, she won.
Yeah, she won. Yeah. Tip of the cap to Steph.
Yeah, she did. How long do you think it'll be till I finish that basement? You just want to set some
over? Dude, there's a lot of work. You should have kept that tiki bar in there, to be honest with you.
it was nice.
It's going to be 5 to 10 years before that's where you want it. 100%. That's going to take some work.
If I were you, I'd go to Home Depot. I'd get some PVC pipe and get one of those outdoor projectors. That's going to be your man cave out there. You've got the space to do it, and it's a lot cheaper.
That's a good call for the summer.
Yeah.
It's a great call.
Okay.
A little tarp.
But you also have about 9 rooms on the first floor that all have multiple TVs in them.
I mean, it's a nice house.
Yeah, you'll be able to escape somewhere.
Plenty of room to escape.
Yeah, plenty of room. I agree. It's a nice house. Mary like it, but I do want that basement.
Nice little house.
Yeah. You got your casting couch room. It's with the
like,
TVs.
It's like, let's just go ahead. Let's get to the basement, you know.
That's what I'm saying. A whole floor between wife and kid and me watching sports is great. I'm not sure that one floor is enough. But thank you guys genuinely. You were amazing, and the cost was right. And if the only payment that I had was this segment, that is well worth it. Shane says the biggest guest he's ever booked is coming up in about 20 minutes. Mm. But on the other side, someone who hates Bob Baffert. Looking forward to talking to him about whatever. We got a drug scandal in horse racing next on The Score.
Bob, here's my understanding. They were going to have the draw today for the Preakness, and they've kicked it back until tomorrow. You have another review. Those results may not be available for several weeks. So the Preakness goes down this weekend. The Belmont is here in New York 4 weeks from now. I don't know if we have final results even before the Belmont is done, but your plan is to race in the Preakness. Is there a chance they may punt and not allow Medina Spirit to run this weekend?
Well, I haven't heard anything officially. They haven't told me anything. I know when Churchill Downs came out with that statement, that was pretty harsh. And I think they had to just, you know, it's, you know, with all the noise going out, you know, we live in a different world now. This America is different. And it was like a cancel culture kind of a thing.
I hate that phrase so much. cancel culture.
It was like a cancel culture kind of a thing.
Yeah,
my horse tested positive for performance enhancing drugs, and they're trying to cancel me.
It's something you say when you're unhappy with the consequences of actions. Very often, that is the way it ends up being phrased.
That's Bob Baffert on Fox News. And I will be honest with you, Matt Spiegel. I don't really know anything about performance-enhancing drugs and horse racing. Do you?
Yeah, it's been a long, long time thing, and we bring on a voice who is a loud opponent of drug use in thoroughbred racing, and he's in the game. And Bob Baffert has a nasty, nasty history of indiscretions that get swept under the rug, so we wanted to get some better context on it.
So joining us now on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park, is Barry Irwin. He's the owner of Team Valor International. Probably their most prominent horse was Animal Kingdom, who won the Derby back in 2011. Head horse trainer, owner from Team Valor, Barry Irwin with us on The Score. Barry, thank you so much for the time. What do you make of this controversy and scandal that Bob Baffert and horse racing find themselves in the thick of right now?
Well, it's what they call a hot mess, for sure. Normally when something like this happens, it just stays within the confines of the industry. But this time it's out in the open. And I must have received every bit of 50 calls over the weekend from different people around the world. And I've had people call me up that you would be surprised to hear their name. Everybody wants to know what the heck the deal is, because it's all over the place. And my fear is that racing could suffer in the long run because of it.
Well, Bob Baffert has now had a career where 31 medication violations have taken place, five of them in the 12-month span that ended on Derby Day. And but like you're saying, usually what happens, forces within the game kind of help bury it, and then everybody just sort of moves on in that way?
Yes, exactly. I mean, a perfect example, a few weeks before the Derby in the state of Arkansas, they finally, the Racing Commission in Arkansas got together and had a hearing for a race that took place a year earlier in the Arkansas Derby. On the day, Baffert had two horses that both won. One of them won the Arkansas Derby, and another was a filly that won a different race. And both of these horses tested positive for an illegal substance named lidocaine. Lidocaine is a common thing found in bug sprays. You see it all over the place.
Yeah, people use it for their back, Barry, and I know that Baffert had said that a couple of his horses were using the lidocaine cream on their hands, and that's how the horses ingested it, apparently.
Well, what he said was his assistant trainer, a guy named Barnes, had a patch on his back for pain for an injury he had had on his back, and they think that that's where it came from. But Baffert also had another horse that day that won that didn't test positive. So, I mean, I myself have had a lidocaine positive for a horse of mine that was trained by Bobby Frankel many, many years ago, over 35 years ago. And, the horse finished second. We got the positive result, and we returned the purse, and that was it, That's usually how it goes. I'll tell you one other thing. I can't tell you who the name is. I hate to do stuff like that. But a Hall of Fame trainer I was speaking with a couple of weeks ago, right after that thing happened in Arkansas, he said, "What do you make of that?" I said, "Well, it's Baffert. He's bigger than the game. People are afraid of him." He said, "I was so upset because I've had those kind of positives. We've had to give the money back. Nobody likes it. I was so upset I opened up a new bottle of tequila and drank half the bottle." Well, that was before the Derby. I think he probably knocked off the other half on Saturday.
We're talking to Barry Irwin. He's the owner of Team Valor. They trained Animal Kingdom, who won the Derby in 2011. Long outspoken critic of performance-enhancing drugs in horse racing after the controversy at the Kentucky Derby with Medina Spirit. We wanted to talk to him. Barry, do you think Bob Baffert is a cheater?
I think he takes an edge. I've always thought that. I've never really considered him to be 100% on the up and up. That's my own personal opinion. I don't have any hard evidence to back it up, nor have I ever seen him do it. But I am not a dummy. I see things. I hear things. And if you put one and one together, you're going to get two. I think the irony of this whole thing with this positive, this is like a blip on the radar screen. If Baffert hadn't had four more things of this nature in such close proximity, and if people were not so sick of hearing about this guy and listening to his excuses, I think this thing would have just gone the way of everything else. But this time, people have had enough. They don't want to hear any more of this stuff. The irony, as I was going to say, is that if he, in fact, does do other things that are more blatant than this, this is almost like if he gets caught and he has to, you know, serve some days or give some money back or whatever. This is like how they caught Al Capone with income tax instead of what his bootlegging things were. You know, this is a technical way of meeting out just this guy who they've been unable to catch on other things.
What do you make of the excuse making? He said that someone urinated in a stall. He's decrying cancel culture. What do you make about like the PR spin tour that Bob Baffert's going on since the controversy?
I just think it's nonsense. Look, the guy, he's trying to make himself into a victim, which is a joke because he's a total bully. He's been a bully from day one. That's how he gets away with this crap, you know? So I let it go in one ear and out the other. It's absolute nonsense that this guy is the victim. He's the bully and he's the perpetrator, and he thinks he's bigger than the game, and he thinks the rules do not apply to him. And when something happens, he just goes through these little routines, you know, looking for sympathy. He's the least sympathetic character I think I've known in racing.
Is he a liked and respected figure within the racing community?
He has a fan base that likes him. I think rival trainers, I think they respect him for his talent and ability to train a horse. I don't think you find a whole lot of them that would respect him for his ethics.
So who are these voices, or who decided that they wanted this out now? Churchill Downs decided it was enough, or is it bigger than Churchill Downs?
Here's how it goes. The normal way it happens is you have a racing commission. A test is done on a horse. They send it to their lab. The results come back. If there's a positive, the racing commission then notifies the trainer. They give him the option of testing a second sample of the blood, which is sent to any lab of his choice. If that blood comes back and it matches the first result, then he's in trouble. If by some miracle a mistake was made, then he's off scot-free. But that is as rare as a blue moon. You know, usually the second sample doesn't test like that. So in this instance, I think it was actually Churchill Downs that got in the act. The racetracks normally don't get involved in something like this, and I find it, I'm going to use this word very precisely, astonishing that Churchill Downs of all racetracks would step up and do what they did. They must feel very, very strongly about this. I applaud them for what the position that they've taken on this thing. You know, I'm part of a group that has spent the last decade or so trying to pass federal legislation to get rid of drugs in racing. We finally did it last year. A thing called the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act passed both houses, you know, the Congress and the Senate last year. And when my group, which is called the Water Hay Oats Alliance and the Jockey Club, when meetings were held with Churchill, their biggest complaint in joining this effort to get rid of drugs was they wanted us to promise that we would never go back and test any frozen samples from previous derbies because they were so worried that something might pop up, you know? So for them to take this kind of a stand on something like this is huge.
Well, I know you want to get horse racing cleaned up. Do you hold out hope that that could ever happen, Barry, that the sport could be clean?
I do. I think in about two or three years, when we look back at this Arkansas decision, this thing that Churchill Downs did and the whole Baffert thing, I think we're going to look at those as the old days and we'll move on to better days.
Barry Irwin from Animal Kingdom in the Derby in 2011, longtime person who spoke out against drug use and performance-enhancing drugs in horse racing, head trainer and owner of Team Valor International. Barry, thank you so much for the time and the candor. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Barry.
That's Barry Irwin with us on The Score. Shane has a surprise for us 1 hour from now. Do you know what it is?
1 hour from now? Yes, I do.
You do?
That surprise, yes.
So I'm the only one who doesn't.
Correct.
Okay, sounds good. Those are my favorite kind of surprises. But coming up next, we get to the bottom of this story. Shane says it's the biggest guest he's ever booked. Hard-hitting questions. No holds barred. Next on The Score.
Come into the final furlong. Mandalone fighting for the front. Medina Spirit battles on. Hot Rod Charlie on the outside. Essential Quality on the far outside. The four of them coming to the finish in the Kentucky Derby. Here's the wire. Bob Baffert does it again. Medina Spirit has won the Kentucky Derby. Mandalone was second. Hot Rod Charlie was third. Essential Quality was fourth. 2:01:02 the final time. Bob Baffert stands alone with 7 Derby wins.
The fastest 2 minutes in sports. The most relevant horse racing is all year. The Kentucky Derby. Medina Spirit setting records for famed horse trainer Bob Baffert. But not without controversy, as Medina Spirit, the bettors will still be paid. But Medina Spirit's owner and trainer might have to give back their purse after he tested positive in post-race drug tests for performance-enhancing drugs.
Baffert's not going to give us the truth. It's obvious. He uses excuses. He says that a groom urinated on hay and then the horse ate. What, like, who? He's got these crazy, crazy things.
Cancel culture. Someone urinated on the hay. My teacher ate my homework. It's right. Really all very unbecoming. And so we decided here at the Parkinson Spiegel Show, we only bring on the guests that are big names. Otherwise, we'd rather just hang out with each other. So we're going directly to the source here. Joining us now on the Alphamont and Nissan Hotline, Alphamont and Nissan in Melrose Park, is the winner, potentially with an asterisk, of the Kentucky Derby, Medina Spirit, with us on The Score. Medina, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Whoa. Walking away?
Medina, can you...
Towards the microphone.
Yeah, that's great. Just if you could roll up your window, please, that'd be good. We get a better phone connection. Medina, I guess the question that's on everybody's mind here is, did you knowingly ingest performance-enhancing drugs before the Kentucky Derby?
That's...
hold on 1 second. One second, we're going to reset.
Well, Shane, I thought you said you had Medina on a landline.
This is the biggest book of your career. Can we get him on a landline, please?
Hold on, I'm going to call him back. Hold on.
Oh, okay. My God.
Jesus.
Sorry, guys. It happens. It's so much built up.
I thought it was...
phone.
Yeah, it happens. I thought it was cool that he was on Twitch. I was going to ask him, why the long face, you know?
All right, he's back. It sounds a lot better.
Really, he seems upset. It's been a tough time for Medina Spirit.
Medina, I guess I will re-ask the question that's on everyone's mind in the world of sports here. Did you knowingly ingest performance-enhancing drugs before the Kentucky Derby?
Oh, boy.
It's a pretty strong denial, but I got to say, Bob Baffert's cover is not doing you much favor. What do you make of Bob Baffert's willingness to win at all costs?
Yeah, we agree. We agree.
That's fascinating.
It doesn't seem right. Listen, Medina Spirit, this may seem weird. Did you eat any hay that tasted like urine at any point while you were?
It actually gives a little bit more credence to what Baffert is saying.
Yeah, that's a yes, right? When it goes up high?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so.
I don't speak horse, but I'm trying.
We're talking to the Kentucky Derby winner, Medina Spirit, here exclusively on the Parkinson Spiegel. Good Morning America wanted him. Everybody wanted him. Sports
Good
Center.
Good job, Shane.
I just sent an email.
That's good. It's good.
So yeah.
You got in touch.
Actually, got him through Bill Fichtner.
Oh, perfect. Incredible.
See, it pays to befriend Hollywood B-listers.
We're talking about Shane here. Medina, we apologize. I don't want to distract you. We know you're congratulating, fielding all sorts of calls. Are you a victim of cancel culture?
It's another yes. I think Bob's gotten to him. Do you like being a racehorse, Medina? It seems like a terrible kind of life, frankly. Yeah.
Need to wrap.
Wow.
Whoa, oh, no. Hey. Whoa, already?
Medina's trainer.
The handler is just... Hold on, Medina. Do you have a drug problem?
He's fleeing the interview. He's fleeing the interview.
Did he hang up on us?
Wow.
I wanted to ask him how he got there.
I wanted to ask him if he was, in fact, hung like a horse, you know? I mean, because it's rare that you get to talk to somebody who might be.
It's true.
You know?
You just got to go for the lowest of hanging fruits. Did Pat,
literally.
Thank you. Did Pat Mahomes have a question for Medina Spirit?
Medina, it's me, Pat Mahomes. I don't know if you
he's not on the line
if you're on TikTok, but my brother is posting all these TikToks saying he's looking for a girlfriend. Do you know anybody who would date my brother, Jackson Mahomes? Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't really know either.
All right.
Texter says, I get one drive home a day, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, but when's the last time you ever talked to a horse?
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, come on.
It's true. We took a swing.
Yeah.
We took a swing.
Can't believe you guys didn't wish it a happy birthday.
Oh, it's right. It's his birthday.
January 1st.
Yeah. January 1st. New Year's Day is every horse's birthday. It's true. That's every horse's birthday.
It's just science. What a coincidence.
Your first year of racing, when you're born, when you go to buy a horse, when a horse is born, a horse will be born, the most prominent months for horses being born are February and March. When that baby goes through the sales ring, you want to get earlier foals because they're older. And then every horse's birthday is New Year's Day. Every horse has the same birthday, New Year's Day.
Happy birthday, Mike.
It's like trying to light a fire under a horse. We call it a dead horse. Well, you know, it won't run.
I don't want that to happen.
How did Medina Spirit get to Kentucky, by the way? That was another question I was going to ask. It was going to be about the transportation.
Yeah.
I'm sure Bob Baffert flies first class.
A lot of questions went unasked.
He hung up too quickly.
Yeah, well, he fleed. He fled the interview. He doesn't want any part of it. It reminds me of when A-Rod talked to Mike Francesa, just kind of denied everything.
And then he got out of there. That's true. Texter.
I've said a lot of really stupid things, and I've asked a lot of really dumb questions. Did you really ask Ron Majors?
I have a dumb, I don't watch a lot of horse racing question, to be honest with you. How the hell do you get a horse from Ireland to here and ready to race?
Well, it's even more interesting than that. They fly them. They put them in a plane.
Oh. That's fascinating.
How do you do it?
Makes sense.
First, we cut them into sections.
Yeah, they reassemble them in Kentucky.
And then we fax him. We send him via the Barrett's Home Theater fax machine and get him there that way.
I haven't heard that full clip in a while. Mac's voice right at the launch of the show.
Right at the smoke.
I've said a lot of really stupid things, and I've asked a lot of really dumb questions.
That's a tough moment for vocal cords everywhere.
All right, Matt Nagy has been talking in Columbus to Colin Cowherd, to Rich Eisen, to Russ. He's talking to everybody. We'll see if he's saying anything. We'll be the judge next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.